You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from San Luis Obispo at the KCBX studios. Come along and join me with Virginia Scripps from Press Kitchen PR and Kane Tietzel from
Start VR,
Atlas Obscura, based in Australia, and my Cal Poly intern, Randy Hare. So here we are on the threshold of the future of travel. Tell us about your vision and how you realize this.
We're a dedicated VR company creating experiences in virtual reality, and we've done a lot of work in tourism and travel already with premium brand and destinations. We were looking to create an experience that was more entertainment-based, and we reached out to the good people at Atlas Obscura, who already have an amazing media company and website and travel service already, and a number one best-selling book on the New York Times bestseller list. And we approached them to see if we could actually use their expertise to create a brand new VR experience that can tell some amazing new stories.
True partnership, then.
Yeah. They've already got some amazing talent behind them, some great storytellers. They know how to find the most obscure and fascinating places to go to in the world. And we know how to make great virtual reality content. So it was a great partnership.
Very fascinating. And reading some background, you talk about VR content, melding it with CG imagery. So you have computer graphics that are melded into the real imagery. Tell us about that.
So there's lots of different ways to make VR, computer graphics or live action. The stuff that we've created, or the experience we've created for the Atlas Obscura VR app, is still mostly live action. So we've used a combination of 360 degree video, stereo photography, and photogrammetry. And photogrammetry is when we take regular photos of an environment in space.
A still.
Hundreds and thousands of stills, images, and then we take that into a software program, and that recreates the space like a 3D model. And then once we have that 3D space, that replica, we can actually move around that environment. So it's kind of like CGI, but it's actually based on actual photography.
Very fascinating. Personally, having experienced your VR experience, it was a game changer for me thinking about the world of travel, and especially those who maybe can't travel. This is as close as you will ever get to going somewhere by staying in your living room. Virginia, tell us about that angle.
Yeah, virtual reality, you have to kind of try it to realize how powerful it is, because you literally don't know where you are. You're thoroughly convinced that you're in another place. And that's why people trip over chairs and can really hurt themselves in their own homes, because they think that they're somewhere else. And it has a lot of interesting applications because of that in the medical field and all kinds of things, where you can transport people to places and have them experience things, and it transports them out of their environment.
Literally, you are there. I know, I was there last night. You have the headset on, and you can't help to look straight up at the sky or whatever and to physically turn your body in a 360 and see what's behind you.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. Before we move on, you touched on a real poignant topic, and that has to do with the medical field. And Kane, you were talking before we rolled about cancer patients. That's pretty profound stuff as a direct application.
Yeah, a lot of the work we do, we try and give back to the community. And one of the things we wanted to do was to see how VR can be used as a pain reduction tool, as a method to remove the need for, you know, drugs and other sort of, you know, clinical therapy. So we did a private clinical test with a local cancer treatment center, and we put VR on the heads of people who were having to experience hours and hours of chemotherapy, and just their entire demeanor changed, the physicality changed. They were brightened and enlightened. There is more statistics coming out recently that, you know, VR can have the capacity to remove up to 25% of the requirement for drugs for therapy. So VR has got a massive impact on the health industry.
That's
in ways
profound.
That we haven't worked out yet.
And so what is the operative that mitigates that?
The operative?
Yeah. What is it that is a game changer for the patient that makes it so that their
need
for...
What VR is a medium, it tricks the brain into believing that what it's seeing is real. Mm-hmm. And the brain is a sponge and it wants to be convinced and wants new information. So VR can transport you somewhere else completely different. We talk about meditation and going somewhere in our minds, you know, go to a calm place or a happy place. VR can literally take you to that place and make you feel and believe that you are there. The senses feel real, your whole body and physical demeanor and psychological behavior changes to match the environment that you believe you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's a really powerful thing.
So as we're talking, you are developing and increasing your library of VR destinations.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that we looked at yesterday or stepped into, the temples of humankind, Domnul in Italy,
yeah.
The Salina Turda salt mines in Romania.
Incredible.
Yeah.
An underground theme park at the bottom of a salt mine, you know, with a lake. Yeah, it's amazing.
Talk us through the things that you're most proud of some of those experiential destinations.
Yeah. What's really interesting is about what we're trying to do is we're looking to tell new stories and bring people to places you couldn't normally get to. So there's two areas you can use travel in VR. So for some of our client work, we can introduce someone to a place. What's it like to walk on the Sydney Harbour Bridge or see Uluru? And that's a sample of what it's going to be actually like when you get there. So it's used as a tempting sample of what the reality is going to be like. But then Atlas Obscura is very specifically about places that you will most likely never get to.
Obscure.
Some of the most obscure. Weird and wonderful places, and that's what Atlas Obscura do.
Mm-hmm. So it's places like dangerous, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you take the temples of Domnul. This is a community of 60,000 people in Italy who believe in time travel, but also, you know, have a very deep philosophical way of looking and living off the earth. And they've built these amazing temples that are like Egyptian tombs inside a mountain. And you can't get to that. There's no $50 ticket you can go to that.
Well, I went there for free last night.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And I got scared.
Really?
I almost tipped over. Yeah, you had me on this ledge.
Right, okay.
I did not want to step out there, yeah.
Yeah, that was probably in the Salina Turda, I think.
I think so,
yeah. That's right. But what's interesting is that we can actually tell new stories, and we can use the local people to tell their stories. And so what we're trying to create is a self-paced interactive adventure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, often if you go to a place, if you're with a tour guide, you're literally rushed from place to place. Right. But we all know that the real adventure with travel is exploring at your own pace. Yeah. So we're trying to create that environment where I'm going to go left. What's over there? That looks interesting. I'm going to explore there. And what are the stories that will come to me when I'm in those places? And as you go further into the experience, it unravels and reveals more to keep you sort of engaged and wanting to explore further, which is a bit different to, say, like a linear piece or a linear video, which might be have a start, middle, and end. This gives you the chance to really breathe and soak in the environment and take in the destination as if you were really there.
Randy, how about you? What first attracted you to VR and to the Atlas Obscura experience?
I mean, it's definitely, you know, an emerging technology, and as maybe the younger person in this room, I've always exposed to new stuff at maybe a very rapid rate. I haven't lived before the internet, but I imagine, you know, it was pretty revolutionary, and this is just like a whole new thing. You know, I'm not that shocked by new technologies because I've grown up in it, but it's pretty crazy.
So you're impressed.
I'm impressed regardless. Yeah. I don't mean to sound like a snob or something, but really it's, you wouldn't expect it to be so real, and there's definitely a lot of potential, and it feels like it's about to like be a huge thing, or it is now, I guess. My question for you though, Kane, was could it be like a double-edged sword a bit? For me, it's this escapism is really good for people in hospitals and stuff like that, situations that sounded very army training without getting hurt. But what about people who can't adventure and then they just decide to do VR instead?
It's not going to stop people from traveling. It's not going to stop the experience.
Inspire them more?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it's a chance to give a taste or a sample of what it might be like to get there. And it's going to reveal new things you might not have seen before, or give you a chance to relive it if you've been there already. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to stop the amazing experiences that you have when you travel, the people you meet, the stories, the smells, the flavors. VR, still at the moment, very much in its early days. It's going to get more complex and sophisticated, and it probably will become a lot more immersive in the future. But I don't see it as a double-edged sword at the moment.
Yeah. I see it as a huge sales tool for people that are curious about possibly traveling somewhere they know nothing about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's that teaser. I want to go there. That's amazing. And then it helps reinforce when you do get there, that's what I experience, that's what I have. And, you know, to have that type of, you know, pre-memory before you get there is a very powerful thing.
And along that line, how about a perspective on the usage of VR from, I'm thinking travel agent, but on the greater good component, how do you see an application of VR?
VR is going to touch every part of our life and every industry in a way we can't even really fathom right now. So in the same way we didn't understand what the internet was going to do and revolutionize our life and what the mobile phone was going to do, this is the next technological and communication leap. It's going to be a part of virtual reality and augmented reality, and all these different mixed realities will come together, and we won't be able to sort of tell the difference between real and not. But it's going to be used in business. It's going to be used in education. It's going to be used in healthcare. It's going to be used in entertainment and gaming and a whole range of other sort of industries. So, you know, it's going to help. It's going to unlock new potential, new industries we haven't even imagined yet, just like the internet did. And that's what's really exciting. But we're still in the very early days, but it's happening.
So we're ground zero of the future, and it's very much like Randy alluded to, that she feels like we're on square one.
We're on dial-up, basically. Yeah. We're on dial-up internet. You can hear the screeching happening right now.
Yeah. Okay, along that line, you looking into the future, you have the 4D and you have the clarity. You know, where do you see it going?
I think there'll come a time when we will dip in and out of virtual and actual realities seamlessly. And we won't see them as transitions. There won't be a physical thing I put on my head and that, I go somewhere else. It's literally going to be just dipping in and out.
That was my thought. At some point, again, being square one, where you're putting these goggles on.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is, but I visualize going forward, where at some point we'll step into a room, but it'll be an imaginary room.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. So, you know, I think that contact lenses will be the future, the ultimate place where we get to, or some other sort of optic implant, or maybe even bypassing the eyes. But let's just say we've got contact lenses that can go over our eyes and provide us with a mixed reality. So I could be looking at you now. I could see with augmented reality, I could see your profile of LinkedIn and who you are and what you're about and who you're connected to. But then I could equally go into VR mode and we could both be sitting in the same place but on the beaches of the Seychelles having a conversation. And then my friend who's on the other side of the world can join us and we could be playing backgammon. Wow. Or discussing philosophy.
That's profound.
There was an article in the New York Times last week that had a headset that they're talking about it reads your brainwaves.
Yeah.
So right now, this experience, you're led through by your gaze. Did you notice how you choose things with using your gaze?
Mm-hmm.
You choose
your
own
eyes.
Way through the experience. Apparently, there's a headset that has a lot of gizmos on it that they're talking about they'll be able to read your thoughts.
And wow. So you're thinking, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be cool to go over there?
You're steering yourself with your thinking.
And then you tie that with artificial intelligence. And then you've got, you know, other systems thinking for you, predicting what you want, bringing other people into an environment, creating the space that's actually perfectly and customized and honed for just you and to bring the most out of you. And, you know, it can do so much more for our ability to think with clarity, to coordinate and communicate. We don't know how it's going to really raise the bar for humanity.
Interesting. Okay, let's go back to square one and let's try and paint a visual picture through an auditory tale.
Okay.
And so we're going to have you guide Randy and she'll actually put the headset on and we'll take her somewhere and she can describe the experience. Okay?
Sounds great.
So for the listener, describe what the headset is.
So what we're looking at here is the Samsung Gear VR. The Samsung Gear VR is a premium mobile headset, very affordable. If you own a Samsung phone, you only need a $110 piece of hardware to have that virtual reality.
Are you limited to a Samsung?
With this particular device, you are. There's also a Daydream device. There's the PlayStation VR. There's a whole range of different devices.
That works with your platform.
That's correct. That works with virtual reality. Yeah.
But would it work with Atlas Obscura?
Atlas Obscura at the moment. Atlas Obscura VR is just for the Gear VR at the moment, but we will be releasing it on Cardboard for iOS and Android and other platforms in the near future.
And how about us iPhone people?
You'll be able to access that through Cardboard, which is like a $2 piece of VR headset that you can put your iPhone into. That'll be coming out in the near future as well.
Like this year, maybe?
This year, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that's what, Randy, you said you were familiar with, was the Cardboard headset.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like you said, it's a cheap little thing. It's it's a cardboard box, and it has just magic glass. And then you slide your phone in and you can watch a YouTube video and be diving and wherever.
Simple plastic lenses.
Okay, give us a word picture of the headset.
So the headset is effectively, think of it as like it's maybe the size of an old telephone, 80s telephone, mm-hmm. white or black. It's big enough to hold your phone. And inside there's some, you know, optic lenses that are designed to take your phone screen and wrap them around your eyes and give you a field of view of roughly 90 to 100 degrees field of view.
So right now, Randy has the headset on.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's got the microphone in her hand.
Is the microphone close enough to my mouth?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So as she looks around, she can turn her head and in 360 degrees yes. see an entirely different environment around her.
Yeah. I can't see the microphone, but I am at the Temple of Damanhur.
Fantastic.
How's my pronunciation on that one?
Temple of Damanhur is correct, yes. Mine might be
incorrect. What country is this? Okay.
This is in Italy.
Okay.
So as she looks around, she'll see a 360-degree view. I'm not sure exactly where she is, but you might
Right now, I'm in a dark room, but I know that I can get more into the country somehow. Right now, I see, like, the preview. There's, like, three screens-ish in front of me with some a mountain range.
Okay, so you're watching a video, I think, at the moment.
Okay, I can return to the atmosphere.
Yeah, so I'm going to need to tap the side of your head, and it'll take you back to the atmosphere.
Oh, fade out. Okay, all black.
And now you're back. She's now standing inside a globe, a representation of the Earth. She's in a magical place that is an imaginary place we call the Atlasphere, which is buried beneath the Earth somewhere. It's got, you know, 50s brutalist architecture, and it's a bit of magic as well. But she can see the globe and can actually spin the globe around her. So
you're inside the center of the globe.
That's correct.
It's
huge. It's how many feet tall is it? Like 50 feet?
It's around about 50 to 60 feet, and 50 to 60 feet below you as well. So.
What are those, you know, when you're like going to like a show where you walk in a giant thing and there's stars in the sky, those things. What are those called?
Oh, planetarium?
Yeah, planetarium. But like gigantic and magical.
So now she's gone into one of the experiences.
I'm going to Namibia.
Going to Namibia? Right.
Okay.
If you go back to the atmosphere.
Sorry, it's a slideshow of the house that has all that sand in it.
That's
I've seen pictures of that before. It's cool.
Yeah, okay. So we've got three episodes of really premium content, which are roughly 15 to 20 minutes long in duration that you can explore at your own pace and full of rich multimedia. Then there's a series of stills and there's a series of photo slideshow and audio about another sort of 20 different destinations as well.
I read that you guys did the Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah.
And that's right down the street from where Randy lives.
Yeah,
right?
I went there when I was very little. I actually haven't been there since I was a kid. It really freaked me out. I was so scared because the tour guide did like a whole, I don't know, it's a spooky house, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, quite an amazing story about Sarah Winchester, what she went through and, you know, what she managed to do with that house is quite incredible. I think there's something.
Can we get Randy to the
Winchester
and scare her?
Returning to the atmosphere.
Returning to the atmosphere. Now swipe the side. Where you've been tapping, you can also swipe it.
Swipe it.
And you can see, like, swipe it from your ear to your eye, like that, and it'll actually spin the globe around.
Okay.
Have you seen the globe spin around in front of you?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like a spaceship, and I'm like the commander. Oh, okay. San Jose, California. Yeah, I got this.
So that you can go up to...
Starting the episode? Is that... Oh, okay.
I think so.
The Atlas disappears around.
So we give you a preview of what it's going to be like, the experience, and the local guide, Dylan from Atlas Obscura, is going to show you, and then you get to go into the episode and explore it.
Did I skip the preview a little bit?
I think you might be in there now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can she jump ahead?
Well, she'll be standing outside. So there are the parts where we want to make sure we ensure that she has the right type of experience. We tell the story that needs to happen.
Set up.
And then it'll be at a break, and then she'll get a chance to explore and go, I want to go this way. Or there's a little hot spot. That's interesting. I want to check that out.
I live right over there. Oh, my God.
Wave. You might be able to see yourself.
Wow, yeah, I drive by this all the time. That's crazy. I thought it was outdated, but then I turned behind me and I'm like, I recognize the street and everything because it's the really beautiful classical look of the Winchester. Oh, now it's daytime. Okay. Can I wander around now?
Yes, you can. So if you look straight ahead, you'll be able to go into the house. And she'll be able to explore different models and different rooms. Like she'll go to find the ballroom, and the ballroom would be, she'll be able to literally walk around it by
pointing
on
the floor. But she has free will, conscious choice.
She has free will, yeah.
To decide where she wants to explore. It's not like it's a pre.
That's correct. Yeah, and there's she might see a little icon that says, oh, there's a little audio story here. And if she looks at that, press tap, that'll reveal a more deeper story, a little intricate little piece of the puzzle of the Winchester house. But she doesn't have to if she doesn't want to as well. She can just move from room to room. It's designed to be as engaging as you want it to be.
Cool. Randy, feedback?
You know what? You're right. I was wondering. I was like, oh, I'll just, like I said, I haven't seen this since I was little, but I don't feel, oh, there's the stairwell. I don't feel like I'm escaping reality because now I know that when I go back to this neighborhood next week, I want to go back to the house and see how it compares.
So go into
this.
The ballroom. Are you near the ballroom at all?
I think I just went into the sitting room. I'm getting a little video of a door. There's soft light coming through.
Are you getting disoriented? Or are you getting...
No. Well, I mean, maybe. I feel like if I was walking around maybe a little bit and some... It's alternating between completely immersed in the, like, alternate reality versus a video clip that's, like, teaching me things.
Yeah, the hard part is, I guess, is we're also talking to you, which is breaking that wall of, if it was just you with headphones on,
I'd feel
you'd
a bit
be
lost
more
if
immersed.
I didn't have it. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But, yeah, the voiceover guides me. And the fact that I can do it, like, get the tour guide or just explore on my own is nice.
Yeah.
So she has that option.
Well, I mean, the guide is there always at the start to just introduce the different
just
areas.
Set it up,
but then once you've been through once, you can go and explore to your free will.
Very cool. Virginia? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She looks scared right now.
I remember this room and this whole story before, but now it's doing like a flashback. And I think this is Miss Winchester. Is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Sarah Winchester.
Sarah Winchester. It's
so you're in a room. Spooky. It's an empty room. Is that right?
Yes.
Did you hear a sound behind you?
Yes. I remember this from when I was
so
little.
Do you want to have a look at this behind you?
And
what's back in front of you now?
Oh. Oh, my God. Is that a Ouija board?
So what's happening? Yes. So what's happening is that...
So yeah, but I looked behind me and the door shut and it looked like a wall and it's a very spooky room. I remember from when I was a kid because you can't really tell how to get out. Sarah Winchester suddenly appeared. Lights are dimmer now and there's candles and she looks like she's... Oh my gosh, I don't know. Going to tell me my future?
What
or,
was behind you? Did you see something behind you?
Oh, I don't know.
What's back in front of you now?
Sarah, no. Oh, okay. Okay, I can go to the stairwell. Oh, thank God. Okay.
So what we've done is we've done a little bit of magic to she's in a room and we're using sound effects to get her to look behind her or to go, what was that sound? When she looks back, the scene has changed and there's someone in the room with you. And then you hear another sound, you look behind you. But when you look back, she's changed position. She's looking at you. So we're trying to create these extra levels of story and enhancing the feeling of being there and a bit of magic.
I think you also secured her a little bit.
A little bit. Job explaining that than I did. I was busy experiencing it, but no, that was cool. Yeah, I heard the sound behind me, but I was kind of too scared to look. Wow, yeah, that was cool. It's like a storyline. It's like a video game, really.
So if you look down at your feet as well, do you see a little blue dot appear?
Yeah, I see a couple of different.
So if you look down and you see a blue compass.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then tap on the other side of your head. Yeah, and that'll bring up a map.
Maybe. Sorry, user error. Okay. Yes.
Is there a map in front of you?
Yes, there is a map.
So that's a map of all the places that you've seen and can get to. If you look at maybe the ballroom, might be a good one to look at. Maybe on your
stairwell. Ballroom is to my right, so it's probably over there.
Yeah, on your right side. So tap on the ballroom.
I'm headed to the ballroom.
And now you're in the ballroom, you should see a range of different hotspots. You'll see audio hotspots and a couple of other sort of different interesting...
I see a pretty chandelier.
Okay. So this is a video now?
Yes.
Okay. So she'll see a video. Of hidden clues to her interest in signs, messages, and symbols. Introducing the majestic ballroom.
Wow, yeah.
But then once that finishes, she'll get a chance to explore different audio hotspots that'll tell her more about the room. Plus there's photogrammetry models, which will enable her to float outside the room like it's a dollhouse, like it's a little diorama, and sort of zoom in and out of that.
She can do that now?
She can do that, yeah, once she gets past this little piece of video. And then she'll be able to go into the ballroom in another respect and literally walk around by looking at the floor and go, I'm going to stand over there and click, and then she's transported over there.
It's impressive. The light is what makes it
Are you still in the ballroom?
I'm returning to the ballroom.
Okay.
I accidentally...
So you're in the ballroom. You see a couple of two spheres, like two icons floating in midair.
Yes.
One looks like a ball.
Free roam versus miniature?
Look at a miniature. So tap a miniature.
Oh, okay. But I didn't have to leave the ballroom to get here, right? I could have done this some other way while...
You have to be in the ballroom at the moment, yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's guiding me around the ballroom slowly.
Okay.
And now...
So now what do you see in front of you?
Swipe the touchpad on your... Okay, to rotate the model. Oh, so just like the globe. Oh, okay. So I'm kind of looking at it from an out-of-body experience. It's very, like, architectural now.
Yeah. So she's looking at a miniature. Yeah. So if you can imagine a room, but then as if, you know, you lined the room with wallpaper, you know, and then you stepped outside of that room like a ghost or a drone camera, you can literally move that room around you like it's a box, but then zoom in and look inside it like it's a, like you look inside a doll's house. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's kind of floating in this black nothingness.
And you zoom up and down. So if you push up and down as well,
okay,
you'll be able to zoom in and out as well to get closer and move it around.
Yeah, I can kind of see all angles.
So it's about what virtual reality offers us is a chance to show a different perspective on things as well. You know, we can use a little bit of magic to show something that you couldn't normally see. And that's what's really interesting about the platform and what we're trying to do with storytelling as well.
Very, very cool.
You've been all over the world, obviously, as a travel writer. What was your impression when you went into the VR travel experience?
Oh, my God. It was a mind-blowing experience. It really was. I saw it instantly as a game changer in the world of experiential travel. And like we said at the beginning, for anybody, even myself, I'm going to India in a couple weeks. I have not been there. Mm. I'm so curious. So, if you had your India one up, I would be there today.
Doing your homework.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't imagine any better way. There's something that comes close to it, getting a sample and a taste of a place that you've never been to.
It's also, it's a spatial awareness, you know, so you can look at photos of somewhere where you're about to go.
Right.
And you can look at a top-down map and go, well, that's where logically everything's going to be based.
But to literally walk around in that castle or that salt mine and turn around and see what's above you and behind you, that's way cool.
You spatially know where you are. So I know if I walk over there, that's where I've been. And you get an understanding and a complete context of everything around you. Mm-hmm. And if we think about how it can be used in the future for planning, just to sort of get down to street level and to see where everything is physically located helps give you a grounding before you even get there that I know how to get around.
I think we lost Randy.
One of my problems traveling is we love to go to Paris and there's just too much to do. And I feel a little disorganized, and it's always inadequate, you know, the amount of time you have. Last time we were there, we canceled something else and went back to Paris because we still weren't done, you know, all the different choices in the limited time that you always have when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm going to narrow it down to these four, you know, having
gives you a real
tried all the different things, choices.
Very cool.
We've also used it, you know, for scenic tours. You know, there's barges and boats. How do you convince people what it's going to be like to go on a ship? You can show some videos, you can show some stills, but now in VR, you can literally be situated in your room. I can see what it's like when the butler comes in and serves me my champagne. I can see what it might be like for my wife to be sitting on the balcony looking out at the view of the River Rhine, you know? And I can see what it's like in the kitchen. I can see what the entertainment's going to be like. I can project myself, and I'm far more likely to potentially to buy that travel destination or buy that tour because I've known it's removed a lot of the ambiguity about what am I actually going to get. That's the other thing that's really important.
And again, 360 video is cool, but to step into the middle of it, that's way cool.
Yeah. It's a different level of immersion.
Randy, I wonder where she went.
I'm back at the Atlas. I was kind of exploring on the Winchester House a little bit more while you were speaking. But yeah, Tom, I remember yesterday, you were impressed initially, but then when it really got you in it, then there was a whole different life to you when you're really walking and things are changing.
You guys were laughing at me when I almost tipped over.
You know, it's easy, I think, at the moment it still feels a little bit clumsy when you've got a headset on, and people feel a little bit self-conscious when they put the headset on as well, how they might feel and how they might look to others.
Well, I think
you're in there, you don't care anymore. It's so amazing.
Well, like Virginia said, she was doing it in her office, and she was afraid of hitting furniture.
I would have tripped over a rolling chair, had my office mates not stopped me.
And there's different levels of VR as well. So what we're looking at now is premium mobile, which means we're kind of fixed to a 360-degree view. Mm-hmm. So we can only look around at 360 degrees. But then we've got room-scale VR, which is the next level up, and that requires a big computer. But that means we've got a 5x5-meter space where we can actually walk around and pick things up. So we've got two controllers in our hand. So I can lean down, I can pick up a bow, and I can pick an arrow from my back, and I can pull them together, and I can shoot arrows, and it's like I'm actually shooting arrows.
What?
So we can actually really inhabit a real environment in a virtual environment. Talk about Star Trek and the holodeck. Mm-hmm. That's effectively where it's going to get to as well.
And how far off is that?
The holodeck. I think the holodeck is probably 20 years away, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what we can do right now is still quite incredible.
But you can tactile... pick something
absolutely
up.
Absolutely. Yep, yep. There's feedback in these controllers as well. They vibrate, and there's more work that's being done to recognize your hands in front of you and to bring your persona into these environments. We're doing a lot of work in capturing real performances of people as well and bringing them in like a hologram, like Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi, You're My Only Hope, Princess Leia. A lot of our projects we work on next are using that type of performance technology, so you can actually be in a room with an actor or someone who's very physical and real, so you can interact with them. So it's still early days, but what we can already do is already quite amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to get more immersive, more believable, and more amazing.
In the short term, what are you working on? What projects?
So, yeah, I mean, we just released Atlas Obscura VR, and season one has 3 episodes in it. We're looking to do season 2 and start building this out to create mm-hmm. more destinations, and then we'll release it far more widely. We're also doing some other sort of interactive entertainment pieces as well, sort of, you know, sci-fi sort of thrillers, I guess, as well. We also do a lot of work with clients to help bring their marketing and communication and training needs to the fore. Yeah, there's a lot of incredible work we're doing for helping businesses, but for also, you know, creating the VR industry around us.
I love it.
You know, Hollywood, where I work with different VR companies, is very interested in this new medium, and there are no real experts in it, which is what makes it fun. Kane's work is really at the top tier of the production values of what's happening, and you do get some companies doing really, really high-level stuff. And then there are also some sort of more low-budget-looking pieces that aren't as convincing, but it's all just exciting and experimental right now.
What do you see on the horizon in Hollywood, application-wise, experiential?
I just think that the old studio system in general, in a lot of different ways, is super challenged right now because they're used to doing things a certain way, and there are all these new things coming at them that are unfamiliar to them. And they're going to need to partner with people like Kane to get ahead of this, because their young audiences are already ahead of this and they're so receptive to it. Yeah. They adapt to it in a heartbeat.
I have a friend who went to a business school in Finland, and it was like entrepreneur school or something, so he started a VR movie theater with a team, and I didn't get a chance to check it out, but I imagine that would be that might save movie theaters a bit, because that's a thing, or at least transform the movie theater industry.
I think it's going to massively disrupt entertainment, you know.
It made it so social, though, a little bit.
There'll still be a need for social VR and social experiences where you gather with other people and experience films in real time to have that, you know, human experience. But it'll also enable us to create entirely new forms of entertainment. So, you know, at the moment we watch James Bond, but we could actually be alongside James Bond and actually help him, you know, beat Dr. No. You know, and that's where that level of interactivity is really going to offer us a new way to tell stories and experience things in an entirely new way. Rather than things being a linear A, B, and C, we're going to open up so that people can create the story. And everyone's going to have a different ending. You participate in that film, and that's where it's really interesting.
Back to Randy's comment about the future of theaters, what are you guys seeing?
There are some studios, Warner Brothers in particular, that I've worked with recently, where they are bringing the VR experience associated with movie into the theater before the movie starts to sort of just get people excited about it. So people are coming out of other movies and they rope them in and get them to try the experience. And you get to actually meet the character. There's a really scary character in one of these movies that people haven't seen yet. And the VR experience is their first chance to encounter that character. And you really physically feel like you're right next to them and that you're meeting them. So it's kind of a more personal level with the characters in a film.
There are cinema chains or cinemas that are setting up to be dedicated VR 360 cinemas. So, you know,
right now, as we're speaking.
Yeah,
right.
as we're speaking, there's sort of...
You know, IMAX has one in Los Angeles.
Yeah, there's those that are doing VR, like everyone's watching the same VR experience at the same time, like a 360 movie. But then you've got things like IMAX VR, which are offering a very unique VR experience to complement the movie. So you're getting a side plot or something else that's deeper into the story to immerse you in that world that either you've just seen or are about to see as well.
So, the objective is the same as a trailer. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole new way of introducing and enticing, you know, entertainment. project.
And extending that experience. You know, I've just watched the movie. That was amazing. Wouldn't it be great if? Well, now I can. So that's the opportunity.
And there's a brand new thing happening where they've created such nice VR experiences to promo the movie that they're selling them afterwards. Yeah. After the movie comes out, you can buy it on iTunes or wherever, you know, the Gear VR store.
The classic one, which was, I think, The Walk, which is the story of the tightrope walk between the Twin Towers in New York in the 70s, I think, whatever it was. And that movie is intense. But then they had a VR experience where they literally put a rope down on the floor, and in VR, you walked across it, and it was like you're walking across the New York skyline. So there's nothing like really transporting you to the character's world than actually putting you in VR.
Yeah, I think I might fall on that one.
I would.
You'll be safe. It's fine.
That's so cool. Any other thoughts?
That was awesome. Yeah, I liked the tour guide, and then Sarah Winchester was CGI or something. But it was just as real, like you were talking about meeting the character from the movie. I just met Sarah Winchester, and even though she didn't move and have that like realisticness of the tour guide earlier in the house, it was still pretty captivating, still very realistic in a strange way, and I don't know, made me uneasy, but it was cool that it could do that when I'm just sitting in this area with you guys, not the house.
And can I ask you, one of the things we find about VR is that, you know, it leaves a lasting impression on your memory. Because the brain is a sponge, it's looking for new information all the time. I'm sure you can probably re-explain to me what happened when you went and visited Damanhur. You know, what were the locations like? What was the color of the ground? What was the color of the sky? Who did you see there?
Yeah, it was very vibrant. Like I said, the lighting is what stood out to me the most. Is it's, you know, you can tell the time of day, things that are subtle that you don't notice when you're living life in reality. But I noticed it, but it's still, I noticed it because I was like, wow, that's really real, you know.
Yeah.
Some things that I could differentiate between CGI and the real places, but the real places are, it's like a photograph that, I don't know, it puts you in it. It's like reading a book, or when you like start to imagine it, but you're like, get the visual is just the cherry on top.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Parting thoughts?
Parting thoughts.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Just like the iPhone has brought, you know, photography to everyone and filmmaking to everyone, are we all going to be making VR experiences soon?
I would love to see that day when we start creating VR experiences. So I think we're going to start seeing user-generated content, like we have YouTubers, will start taking advantage of 360 video to start telling stories. I think we're going to start seeing creative tools coming out where people can use VR to tell new narratives and to express themselves in different ways that we haven't imagined yet. There's an amazing piece of software called Mindshow, which is coming out, or has just been released. This is an amazing experience where you inhabit an animated character. So you're the spaceship captain, and you act out what it's like that the aliens are about to come down and you're going to tell them to go away. So you act it out, and that records that in a scene. You then play the part of the alien going, rah, 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 we're going to take over the Earth, you know, take me to your leader, whatever it might be. And then you position blocks and objects, and you've literally created your own animated movie through your own actions, physical and verbal, and created something new.
Right, so we've got right these, now, this is happening.
This is right now, this is happening. Wow. There are virtual paintbrushes, you know, environments you can create in 360 degree and 3D in
tilt
space.
Brush, tilt where brush, you're doing art.
I watched it.
Quite amazing. Everyone loves tilt brush. Yeah.
Yeah, tilt brush is fun.
So it's going to open up a whole new world of creativity and self-expression. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Randy?
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video about that. I don't know if that's the only art virtual reality thing, but it was, I mean, it was just a YouTube video. It was in 2D for me, I guess. I don't know. But it was still, for my brief interactions with VR, it's intriguing. And I can tell that, like I said, I've used it 3 times. And it's interesting, the cardboard makes it affordable and attainable by, you know, college students, poor-serving college students
That's
like
correct.
Me. But also, I can already tell, because I've tried it so intermittently, that things are rapidly getting better and more high-tech, because I didn't get nauseous this time. Mm-hmm. Things looked like, you know, real, like a table actually looked like I could put something on it. And that was just over the span of a couple months. So
yeah, it's getting more believable all the time.
Very cool. To learn more, website, how would somebody explore and discover?
Go to atlasobscura.com/VR to learn out more.
Kane, Virginia, and Randy, thank you so much. What a wonderful day.
Thank you,
thank
Tom,
you, Tom,
for going on this experience with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You just opened my mind a whole new world. It's been a wonderful journey to explore virtual reality. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Luis Obispo at the KCBX studios. We'll see you out in outer space.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
Asking themselves the same question.